Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Hoard, and this is the Bengals Booth Podcast, the rock bottom edition, following Sunday's dismal performance in a 33-7 loss to the Chicago Bears, a loss that brought out two words that no professional athlete ever wants to hear: quit and embarrassed. Coming up, radio replays from the game, in this case more lowlights than highlights. We'll hear what several players had to say in the locker room, including A.J. Green and Carlos Dunlap. And my broadcast partner Dave Lapham will join me for post-game analysis. And in this week's Fun Facts segment, we'll get to know the person under the pads as I sit down for an in-depth interview with rookie running back Joe Mixon. Before we get to all of that, here's a reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. It's the greatest invention since the Twitter mute option. I get your frustration, really, I do. But if you feel the need to vent by sending me an F-bomb-laden tweet, chances are I'm going to hit the old mute button. Trust me, you're entitled to your opinion, but if you are responding to one of my tweets, keep it clean, okay? Let's get to Sunday's expletive-deleted drubbing. After committing 13 penalties for a franchise-record 173 yards in last Monday's loss to the Pittsburgh Steelers, the Bengals picked up right where they left off. They were penalized on the opening kickoff. They were penalized on their third play from scrimmage. And they were penalized when they punted after their opening possession. Three penalties in the first 3 minutes set the tone for a lousy day at the office. The Bears entered the game dead last in the NFL in total offense, but Chicago had little trouble scoring on its opening drive.
Bellamy goes in motion. Trubisky takes the shotgun snap. It's an inside handoff. Howard threw a huge hole up the middle, moving toward the sideline left, and he'll take it into the end zone, untouched, for a 21-yard TD.
Jordan Howard finished with 23 carries for 147 yards against a Bengals defense missing five starters due to injury. Here's defensive end Chris Smith.
We had a lot of young guys, and we just got out of whack a little bit. I mean, so, and they made their plays, and can't do that against, you know, and especially them. We knew they were going to come in and run the ball and establish a run. We know we're two good running backs, so it's one thing that we didn't stop them today.
That's an understatement. The Bears finished with 482 yards of offense, the most allowed by the Bengals all year. After falling behind 6-0, yes, former Bengals kicker Mike Nugent missed the extra point after Chicago's first touchdown, the Bengals started to click on their third drive of the day.
Here's a handoff. Bernard with a hole. Running to the right to the 45, 50. Cuts back to the 45 of Chicago and gets spun to the turf at the 40-yard line by Danny Trevathan. 21 yards for Giovanni Bernard.
Gio finished the game with 62 yards rushing and 68 yards receiving. And with 2.5 minutes to go in the first quarter, the Bengals took the lead.
Dalton throwing for the end zone, and yeah. Brandon LaFell, yeah. He makes the catch. Did he get his feet in bounds? Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Touchdown, Bengals.
Andy Dalton was 6-for-10 with a touchdown in the first quarter, but was 8-for-19 for the rest of the game. A pair of Nugent field goals in the second quarter sent the Bears to the locker room with a 12-7 lead. At that point, it was still anybody's game, but the second half was as competitive as a Harlem Globetrotters game. Rookie quarterback Mitchell Trubisky entered the game 29th in the NFL in passer rating and 35th in passing yards. That's 35th out of 35 quarterbacks with enough passes to qualify. But Mitch carved up the Bengals to the tune of 25 for 32 passing for 271 yards and a passer rating of 112.4. And he used his legs to give Chicago a 19-7 lead in the third quarter.
The rookie quarterback catches the snap, fakes a handoff to Howard, and runs into the end zone untouched. Classic college play, zone read fake by the quarterback, and Trubisky, who did that quite a bit at North Carolina, runs it in for the Bears' touchdown.
Here's Carlos Dunlap.
I feel like we had a good week of practice, but we didn't execute the game plan. You know, I mean, we know there's a lot of young guys in there, but that's just an excuse, and we don't use excuses right here.
The game quickly went from bad to brutal.
Shotgun snap, throw over the middle, deflected and intercepted by the Chicago Bears. Eddie Jackson will be brought down at the Cincinnati 42-yard line. It was deflected off A.J. Green right into the waiting mitts of safety Eddie Jackson, and that ends Andy Dalton's streak of consecutive passes without an interception at 193.
So Dalton falls short of the Bengals' record for most consecutive passes without an INT, held by Neil O'Donnell. That'll win you a bar bet. Good old Neil threw 238 in a row without a pick in 1998. Dalton's interception came on one of 12 passes he threw for A.J. Green in the game. A.J. only caught 5 of them for 64 yards.
I was one of the leaders of the offense. You know, I didn't do anything today. I got to play better. Got to get the offense going. Start for me. Had a couple deep balls that plays I should have made, plays I make all the time. Didn't make them today. Like I said, man, this one, you know, I didn't play well enough.
He had plenty of company. In the fourth quarter, on first and goal from the one, the Bears probably could have run it in, but they let Trubisky add to his touchdown total.
Takes the snap, fakes to Howard, throws into the end zone, and it is caught by Shaheen for a touchdown.
That made it 26-7. The Bengals had to pass to have any chance of a miracle comeback, and even when A.J. Green caught it, he didn't hold on to it.
Malone out, Boyd in, Dalton back to throw, decent pocket, he throws, caught by A.J. Green inside the 25. He goes out of bounds before losing the football at the 22. Bears are trying to say he fumbled it before he went out of bounds. The official marked him out.
After reviewing the play, it was a completed catch and a fumble prior to the receiver stepping out of bounds, recovered by Chicago at the 20-yard line.
The Bears had not scored more than 27 points in a game this season. They dropped 33 on the Bengals on their home field.
Second and 2 from the Bengals 8. Trubisky hands it off to Howard. He's inside the 5, fighting for the goal line, extends the football forward, touchdown. The Bengals are getting thumped in a big-time way by a team that came into the game with a 3-9 record.
Haven't seen this for a long time, Dan, but I will have to say, for the first time in a while, I'm watching a football team quit. Just not giving enough effort. They're quitting on the effort today. It's just not happening.
As a Bengals player for 10 years and a broadcaster for 32, Dave Lapham does not use the word quit lightly. Carlos Dunlap used the word embarrassed.
Carlos, I don't recall hearing you use the word embarrassed very often in your time here. Is that one of the worst days of your career?
Not the only time, but this was pretty bad. I didn't expect this football game to go like this.
What are you embarrassed of, Carlos?
We didn't defend home field. We had fans here. I had my whole family here. That was embarrassing to put that up there and let the game come out with that result. That's not what I expected.
Chris Smith concurred.
I mean, everybody was embarrassed. But that's just what you get when you don't play your top game, because, I mean, in the NFL, I mean, you got to be ready to play each and every week, because it is the NFL, you know. No matter, you can't look at no records in the NFL. Like, the greatest team could go down, and then the team that's not the greatest could, you know, have the best game. So that's one thing about it. You got to be on it every Sunday.
As the game was getting away from you and the stands are emptying out, is that about as tough as it gets as a proud NFL player?
I mean, I've seen worse, you know, I have. But, I mean, that's the thing about it. When you know, you don't bring your A game, that's the stuff that can happen. So, no, we can't sit and feel sorry for ourselves. We just got to go back to the drawing board and be ready for next week, get ready for the Vikings.
Ah, yes. Mike Zimmer's Minnesota Vikings, a team with a 10-3 record after losing to Carolina on Sunday, a loss that ended Minnesota's 8-game winning streak. It's the Vikings, Lions, and Ravens to close out the season. Once again, here's Carlos Dunlap.
What drives you through these last three? I mean, there's a...
The fact that we're playing 3 playoff teams and we have an opportunity to, you know, first of all, it's Mike Zimmer, so I want to play against him. I want to put my best football film on against him because, you know, he was a coach here. He got me started early in my career, and it's going to be fun to get after his team who's playing good football right now. So getting a win versus them would be, you know, a pride thing, and we have that opportunity.
Is that pretty much what it is, pride at this point, I guess?
Yeah, I mean – playing for the, you know, the name on the front and the name on the back. You just got to go out there and execute and put your best effort out there. I mean, I don't half-ass anything.
So the Bengals' 50th season will not end with a winning record. The best they can do is 8-8. Here's Giovanni Bernard.
What we displayed out there is just not us, and everybody knows it. So it's obviously frustrating that way. But I have trust in my teammates, and you know we're going to fix this thing up. Obviously, it's a little late in the season to make things really matter. But I think right now we're just trying to spoil everybody else's season. So hopefully we can just get this thing going.
Time to bring in my broadcast partner Dave Lapham for post-game analysis. Lap, going into the game, one of the big storylines was, would the Bengals be able to rebound physically and emotionally from Monday night's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers? I think it's fair to say the answer was no.
Yeah, I mean, they showed some signs of it early on when they took the 7-6 lead, but overall they just, you know, were trying to put fingers in the holes in the dike, and there were too many holes, and they just didn't get it done. I mean, the Chicago Bears obviously ran roughshod. Their running game got untracked. Giovanni Bernard had 60 yards in the first half rushing. The Bengals were running it okay in the first half and 2 yards rushing, I think, after that. So, again, going to the big lulls, you know, they just can't put enough good football together to stay in football games. And particularly when your defense is crippled, you know, missing as many players as they were at the nickel linebacker position, that got targeted and got picked on. Pittsburgh did it at the end of the game on Monday night, and then Chicago picked right up where Pittsburgh left off. So if that's the case, offensively, you have to do more. You have to stay on the field, control the clock, move the chains, first downs, touchdowns. Chicago did all that. Chicago's offense controlled the clock with their running game, and as a result of that running game, Trubisky looked like he was a Pro Bowler. You know, he completed a high percentage and did his thing because they were so balanced with what they were able to do on the ground and in the air.
The Bengals were missing 5 defensive starters and Joe Mixon on offense, so therefore the regular players, the key players that were out there, needed to have good games. And take a look at somebody like A.J. Green, one of the best players in the NFL. He had a pass ricochet off him for an interception. He fumbled when he had the ball ripped out of his hands. If A.J. doesn't deliver in a game like this, it's going to be awfully hard for the Bengals to win.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. It just, you know, somebody has to light a spark, you know, and there wasn't any sparks. They just, the fire was snuffed out, and there wasn't any lighter fluid to put back on it, you know, to try to get it reignited. Obviously, there's a lot of tape to look at, a lot of corrections to be made, because you don't want to put an effort like that forth at home, you know, down the stretch of a season. And that's not something that your fans, you know, want to witness, and it's not something the players want to be part of. So the only thing that they can do is change it. I mean, they're the guys that control it. They're the guys that are going to make changes in the way the game is played, the outcome of the game, and there's nobody else that they can look to or lean on to do it but themselves. They have to look in the mirror, look inside themselves, and do things better, you know, up in Minnesota, because let me tell you something, Mike Zimmer and the Minnesota Vikings, they won't show any pity. You know, they're trying to be the number one seed in the NFC and be the first team to play in a Super Bowl at their home stadium. Super Bowl 52 is up there, and Mike Zimmer would love to be part of that. So don't think it's going to get any easier next week. You better go up there with a much different focus, a much different intent, or, it could get ugly quickly.
Carlos Dunlap used a word that professional athletes do not like to use, embarrassed. That's how he described it after the game.
It's just good summation. You know, how could it be anything but that? You know, that was a performance that you really don't want to be part of. It's one of those games that, as a professional, you know, when you look at it and looking at the tape, they're not going to be happy. They're going to be embarrassed. Professional pride is, you get to this level, everybody's prideful. So it's going to be... Everybody's going to look deep down inside their own guts and try to pull something out of there.
Enough on Sunday's loss. Time for this week's Fun Facts segment as we get to know the person under the pads. Time for some fun facts with Bengals rookie running back Joe Mixon from Oakley, California. Tell me something you love about your hometown.
They're a very supportive community. They did a lot for me back home, and They do a lot of, you know, helping out for kids and developing them as, you know, young men, and same as the ladies also. They do a great job with their community, keeping it clean, and, you know, they're very attentive of helping and doing things around the community that's beneficial to everyone. I feel like being there and being a part of, you know, Freedom High, you know, just as a community, they do a lot of things, and, you know, it's very fun to get people close, and I love that about Freedom.
It's not far from San Francisco. Did you used to get into San Francisco much as a kid?
Well, that's where I'm originally from. I moved out to Oakley probably my sophomore year in high school, but I went there, you know, all 4 years, and you know, I love the change, and I love the people there. And just being back home is just, it's nothing like it.
We're doing fun facts with Joe Mixon. Who are some of your favorite athletes growing up?
You know, I always looked up to Walter Payton. Loved Eric Dickerson. And then, you know, new school guys, Adrian Peterson. Loved watching him growing up. Michael Vick, he was, you know, one of them guys that I wanted to be like. I used to always try to throw left-handed like him. I could still throw left-handed. It's crazy, but, you know, for college, it was always watching, like, Todd Gurley. I watched LaMichael James growing up. I mean, we had, like, a couple of guys that I used to try to mock my game after and try to take one or two things from them and things like that, and make me the guy I am today.
You mentioned being able to throw lefty like Michael Vick. Rumor has it you can throw a football pretty well. Do we have some Mohamed Sanu-like plays that we might see at some point?
Not that I know of. But, you know, in practice, you know, I just always try to, you know, throw, you know, just for fun. But, you know, just you never know, so you got to keep working on it.
We're doing fun facts with Joe Mixon. Aside from professional athlete, have you had any other jobs, even part-time jobs as a kid?
No, not really. I used to just love helping around school, you know, the boys and girls clubs and things like that. That's pretty much about it. Working around with I just love working with kids. You know, my mom, she ran a daycare, and we helped her with things like that, and, I mean, that's pretty much about it, honestly.
Who was your all-time favorite teacher, high school or college, and what did he or she teach?
I want to say Miss Cortez. She was actually a resource teacher, and she helped a lot of guys and girls, you know, just grow as a person, and teaching them, you know, the studies of how to be a better student, and, you know, she gave me a lot of support, her and Miss April. You know, they did a great job, you know, teaming up with each other. I felt like they were the dynamic duo, you know, at school. But, you know, in high school, it was definitely them. And, you know, I really appreciated everything they did for me. And, you know, they still do the same thing to this day. And, you know, I just love, you know, just their passion about helping kids, you know, want to be successful. And, you know, they pretty much turned everyone's life around, and they still, you know, have a special place in my heart.
Joe, I'm guessing at Freedom High School, you could have gone anywhere you wanted to for college. What made you choose Oklahoma?
Honestly, the tradition of running backs that come from there. You know, the guys that go there, they start, and they usually pretty much go on and have a great career in the NFL. You know, Coach Gundy, he was a super big influence on me going there. And, you know, he obviously coached Adrian Peterson. I felt like if he had Adrian Peterson like that, he's going to have me like that. So, you know, I pretty much, that's one of the main reasons why I went there. I mean, when I took my visit, I loved it. I felt like I was part of the group, and that's what made me go there.
We're doing fun facts with Joe Mixon. What do you like to spend money on?
Probably just helping my nieces and nephews. You know, we come from the struggle. You know, I was fortunate enough to be blessed and make it to the NFL, and I'm sure one day they're gonna, you know, do the same thing. But, you know, I'm a family man, so, you know, I try to do whatever I can to put my family in the best situation possible. I mean, I don't spend too much money, but, you know, I will help them to stabilize them, as, you know, to be successful and to actually want to do better, as in, like, the work field. You know, even though it's a different kind of working job, you know, I still try to influence them on, you know, being a better person or making them type of connections with people, because, you know, at this time of world, like, You know, it's big. You know, people who you know, they can help you out. And, you know, you got to be nice to everyone because, you know, at the end of the day, you just never know that one person. Like, it could be someone from off the street that you probably think is a nobody. You know, you treat everybody with respect and be nice to everyone because that one person that you don't know, it might be the person to change their life, you know, the rest of your life. So I try to do whatever I can to help my family. And, you know, I'm a big family man, so that's pretty much, you know, what I spend a lot of money on.
What unhealthy food or snack do you have a hard time saying no to?
Unhealthy food, I'd probably say fried chicken. You know, mom's, the way she whip it up is crazy. But, you know, I'd probably say that's one of the main reasons that why I eat it so much. When pretty much when my mom come down, give me a home-cooked meal, I love it. But I try to stay away from it as much as I could.
What do you like about Cincinnati so far?
I love the people here. They're very supportive of us. You know, just coming in as a rookie, you know, they took us all in as, you know, we're one of them guys around the community that's very influential upon a lot of people. And, you know, just the support system that they have here. I love being around in the locker room. You know, we all blessed to be in this position. Just going out, you know, going to eat, you know, just people coming up to us and, you know, telling us like, hey, like, keep, just keep doing a good job and we believe in you. Like, you know, that stuff is, plays a big part in, you know, how we think and how we play. And,
final,
you know, I appreciate that.
Sorry, Joe, final fun fact for Joe Mixon. Describe a perfect day.
A perfect day is when your body, you wake up and your body isn't aching. You come to work, you know, it's all smiles on people's faces, and you get the job done, you get out of here, and you do pretty much whatever you want. I pretty much say on my free time, I'll go home and play Xbox and video games, you know, probably catch up with friends on there in the party chats, but I say that's probably a fun or perfect day in my world right now.
All right, you're off the hot seat. I appreciate the time. Best of luck.
Appreciate you. Thank you.
That's going to do it for this edition of the podcast. If you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play and give it a rating or leave a comment. It's great to know how many of you are listening and what you think. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.